calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. Welcome again to Clutter's Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-host with me today will be David Holly and Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the 3-0 loss for Fulham on Saturday against Nottingham Forest at City Ground. Both of my hosts were there, so they'll be sharing their thoughts on this in just seconds. And why don't I bring them on right now? I'll first start with Mr. Mike Gregg. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Really good. Looking forward, as usual, to do the show and talk about yesterday. And surprisingly, I'm in a good mood and... You know, because if you're worried about it too much, you'll just cry. So we'll just get on with it and look forward to describing the events of yesterday.
Oh, I look forward to that. And again, just so everyone knows, unfortunately, I've not had the opportunity yet to watch the match. I listened to it, not watched. I've watched highlights from Sky Sports. I've watched highlights from the team. And when the team did release the 90-minute replay, it was getting close to the showtime, so I was not able to watch it. So Mike and David will be my eyes for this match, so I look forward to both of you describing it. But before we do anything else, David, how you doing?
I'm numb. You know, I'm just kind of oblivious to it all now, really, the situation with Fulham. I had quite a nice day out, apart from the football, really, so that kind of sums it up, really, I think.
Okay, good. And listen, before we break down this match, let's talk about the non-news, because again, Fulham do not have a new head coach slash manager or caretaker head coach. We do not have that resolved yet. There has been no announcement. Hopefully that will be coming soon. And Mike, I'm going to just go with you. Are you surprised that we do not have an announcement yet?
No, not really, considering how long it's now. It's now exactly 4 weeks, isn't it? And so, you know, we've had the name of Gray. That's been bandied around for the last couple of days. Maybe Clark resigning has, confused matters. Then you have issues like Gary Monk might get the sack, you know. So, no, I'm not surprised. But from Grant's comments yesterday, he's obviously hopes they sort it out soon. And so do we, because this is just dragging on and we're losing ground all the time. And but you can see from yesterday, someone needs to come in, be the leader of the group of players, and give them a purpose, because that's what was lacking from yesterday.
No, good stuff, Mike. And just so you know, I am actually going to be reading quotes from Mr. Grant, because, again, it's on the Fulham website. He does mention that at the end, the comments about hoping that Mike Rigg, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, will be bringing in a new man this week. So I definitely want to get your reaction to his reaction. It's interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to see his quotes. I'll be curious your reaction to what he had to share. But before we do that and we start get your opening thoughts on the match, David, what are your thoughts about this whole situation? Do you agree with Mike? You're not surprised that we don't have a man yet?
Well, you know, if we take on board what we were told on Thursday, then you know, I am a little bit surprised, because the implication was that we'd probably hear something by now. But obviously, you know, weekend, maybe things are run down a bit. Maybe they're waiting for this match to get it out of their system and the new working week. Or perhaps, as Mike said, the water's been muddied slightly by the prospect of other people becoming available. But either way, it is a disaster, really. It's, we weren't really going anywhere under Kit, and, you know, to say we've been treading water ever since is kind of, I think that's a bit optimistic, really. We're closer to drowning than treading water, I think. So they need to sort something out anyway.
I agree. I totally agree with both of you on this, and hopefully it will be resolved sooner than later, and it keeps dragging on and on. All right, Mike, share with me your opening thoughts on what you watched at City Ground yesterday.
Well, it was a very cold and extremely windy day, and for the first half hour, 35 minutes, we were probably the better side. We had a couple of chances. They had some half chances, really. And I thought we possession-wise, O'Hara was doing well. We were getting the ball wide. The fullbacks were putting in early balls to Smith, and then when we did get it wide, Pringle was the best option. And he got a couple of good crosses in. So, you know, it was 35 minutes of was okay, and then they slowly came back into it. Had a shot from, I don't know, 25, 30 yards straight to Lewis. Another couple of little last-ditch tackles by Fredericks. I think if anyone looks at my timeline of the game, you can almost see that's what I was saying, at the, you know, as the half progressed. And then we lit in a poor goal just before half-time. That's not exactly unusual for us, is it? And then straight away, second half, you know, we're two down before you even know it, and we didn't really turn up second half. We were very poor. All the goals are poor. The third goal in particular had me out my seat, and Dave was in front of me, and I was, I think if the stewards hadn't been there, I would have been down near the front somewhere, because I was just furious with that goal. I think it was the angle we were sitting at and saw the man unmarked. He seemed to have about 30 seconds to head the ball. We came away, game of two halves again. But lack of purpose, lack of, you know, real drive, hesitation in shooting. It's a team that, as I said a minute ago, it's a team that doesn't have a leader, either on the pitch or off it. And be it treading water, be it just going through the motions, you could say from the three games without a manager, we could have won one of them, possibly two. But, you know, the only good thing that's going on is the teams above us aren't exactly rushing away either. So,
this is true.
There's still time to salvage something, but it's going to need a lot of hard work, and it's going to need a new man this week. I'm absolutely convinced we need a new man by Wednesday at the latest. And in the end, they weren't very good, but we gave them three goals, and that was it, really.
What's interesting about this, and again, you guys were there, so obviously what you saw is going to be different than what I listened to. You know, again, I get a flavor, but that's why I'm glad that I have both of you on to really give me a bird's eye view of what went down here. What's interesting, when we go through the stats, guys, the stats look pretty even, but I know I listened to it, and I know for a fact that, again, it's, you know, stats don't always tell you the entire story, and I look forward to going through the stats with you and get your thoughts on it, because if you look at it just on the stats, except for the goals, but that's the most important stat is the goals, you would think that this was an even game. But they took advantage of their opportunities, and obviously Fulham did not. All right, David, what are your opening thoughts on the match?
Well, it was a classic Fulham special, really, you know, a good half and a poor half, really.
Yep.
As Mike's kind of basically said, for most of the first half, we were really on top, I'd say. And I think the stats, you know, where the stats are fairly even, you'd say that if you looked at the halftime stats, we were ahead in everything apart from the goal.
You're right.
We were ahead on possession, shots, corners and things like, and certainly crosses and stuff. So, obviously, I think we built up a bit of a lead in the first half and lost that in the second half, probably moreover. But it was also... although we're in the final third a lot, especially in the first half, got into great positions, we lack that cutting edge a little bit still. Well, certainly lack that cutting edge. There was still the tendency to try and overplay the ball, maybe, you know, and I think the second goal by Forrest, which we'll talk about in a bit, you know, highlights the differences where they're prepared to take a shot on site in difficult conditions, maybe, and we wanted to walk the ball in more
great
often.
Great point.
But, you know, it was promising, the start. You know, it was a bit lopsided in the way that they played, because nearly everything for Fulham was coming down the left. But at least on that side, you know, we were doing quite well with the Husband and Pringle were combining quite well. And we had a sort of number of early balls into the box from that side. And it looked quite positive. But it was the same old story, really, that, you know, you've got to get the ball in the net when you're on top, really, when, you know, when you're dominating the game, because we've seen it so many times with Fulham, you dominate for spells, you get nothing, the team goes up the other end and scores, heads go down, and that's it. And that's really what happened. I mean, that goal right on half-time seemed to knock the stuffing out of us. When we came out second half, it was a different thing altogether. In second half, we were just never in the game. It was, I don't think there was really any part of the second half where we had a good spell. We were just chasing the game and not chasing it very well.
No, very good, David. And listen, I'm glad that you brought up the point, the differences between the two sides, talking about taking shots from distance, because I knew going into the game when we did the preview, you know, again, that kind of told a little bit about what they're about, that they take a lot of long shots, not afraid to. Fulham, like you said, they it's not really their MO. They don't really do that, and I don't think they do it enough. I think they need to start doing it more, get more shots on net potentially, but take more shots. And that is one of the things that I noticed from them. Of course, the second goal, very good point by you to bring that up. All right, guys, before we go on, I want to read you some quotes from Peter Grant and get your thoughts on them, because I find them very interesting. So I want to get your thoughts on them. And Michael, go to you first, but before I do that, I'm going to read these to you again. This is right on the Fulham website, Grant's reaction. Here are quotes from the caretaker head coach. Quote, "I think anybody who's seen it, the way we played, we were excellent for big periods of the game. But it's the old Achilles heel. If you can't defend a set play, then you're going to have trouble in this division, because this division's built on set plays. We've lost far too many, and that should be the easiest part of the game. I thought we dominated for 70 to 80% of it. You couldn't hear the crowd at all here. But when the ball is static and you can't do your job to defend a set play, it's always going to be a major problem. I thought the two central midfielders, Scott Parker and Jamie O'Hara, dominated the game. We had to take Scotty off with a slight tightness in his legs just because of lack of gains. But the set plays, as our Achilles heel, is there for all to see." And then he goes on. He says, yeah, talking about McCormick and Matt Smith, about the play of them. Yeah, we did test them. We should have scored with a couple of them, Grant insisted. There were some good saves, but I thought there were some bad misses as well. And then he goes on, final quote from him. I thought today, apart from the set plays, we defended ever so well. We created chances and moved the ball as well as any I've seen in this division, because I've seen a lot of games in this division this season. And finally, he says, all in all, I've been chuffed to be part of it and chuffed to lead the team, but I know that Mike Rigg and the chairman are working diligently to bring someone in. Okay, Mike, to you. What are your thoughts about the quotes from Peter Grant?
Well, he's been over positive on things. I mean, we did not dominate the midfield. We, you know, a lot of that is the first half. You know, we did do well first half, but the second half we were anonymous. And while we may have had the ball for periods, we didn't do anything with it. But he's right on the defending of set pieces. I think there's another quote from him straight out of the Kit Simon's book of quotes, which was, apart from the three goals, we did well, you know. So, you know, he's painting a too rosy a picture of it. And I, you know, I prefer managers. Yes, you've got to protect your players and not be totally down on them. But the fact is, you know, defensively, we were poor. Attacking-wise, we had three chances of our own in the first half. There was a deflection for one chance, a header for another off their defenders. And, you know, when we look at the game a little bit later, yes, they could have done better with those chances, but we didn't create enough. You know, I mean, three or four chances a game is not enough. You know, and having 60% of the ball and passing it around in midfield is fine. But, yeah, just over. He's protecting the players there, really, and painting too rosy a picture. But his last comment about, you know, he's enjoyed doing it, and for the half hour, it was the best we've played under him. But he clearly doesn't want the job, and I'm quite annoyed at his comments because if that's the way he's sort of been in the dressing room, you know, oh, I'm only doing this for, you know, until we get a new. That's partly why the players didn't have a purpose, and. No, it's the wrong kind of leadership. Tell me another caretaker who never wants the job.
No, listen, it's a wonderful point. That's why I wanted to share that quote at the end, Mike. Because, again, he has a job to do, but it sounds like, based on the quotes, what I've read and what I've heard, is that he's looking forward to the time that he can go back to coaching the under-21s, what he does. And it's been an honor for him to do this. But it goes back to something that you said that from the beginning of the show, purpose. They lack purpose. They need that man in charge that's going to instill that purpose. The players aren't playing enough with that intent, that purpose. And, you know, that is really the difference in these matches. One team, you know, again, going back to something that David said, it's really glaring. You know, they're, you know, Nottingham Forest, when they had their opportunities, there's intent there. And they're playing with a little bit more purpose. That's the difference between win and a loss, yeah, and even a draw, you know. Go ahead, Mike.
In retrospect, you know, we've had someone in the club who wants the job, is an ex-manager, and that's Curbishley. And for a week and a half, he took the training, and then for whatever reasons, and there's plenty of rumours about what happened, Grant was drafted in on the Thursday before the MK Dons game. You know, if you'd had a caretaker who wants the job, the effort he would be putting in would be, you know, 100%, and those players would know that this person, you know, potentially could be their full-time boss going forward. And so, in retrospect, it was a mistake, and they should have put Curbishley as caretaker.
That's a wonderful point. I'm glad that you brought that up, Mike, because if you really think about it, that might have been really when this whole thing unraveled, him being in charge of training at the beginning, then they went to Grant. And if you're a player and you're looking at someone that you know doesn't want the job full-time, you know, again, maybe it's, you know, subconsciously, you know, you're thinking purpose. You know, again, where's the purpose here? And listen, all the players have to take responsibility for their job, but again, you know, who's the leader? Who's in charge? And I think you nailed the reason why, a possible reason why this thing has been the way it has been the last three matches, because you have someone in there that, again, is fulfilling that job, but he's doing it temporarily, and there's no incentive there, and the players know this, that he's just there temporarily. So where's that purpose? Like you said, it goes back to a very good point by you, Mike. All right, over to you, David. What are your thoughts about what Mike shared and also what Grant shared?
Well, Mike said he's being far too positive. I mean, they're
keeping. And I agree with that, and I'm a positive person.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think, you know, maybe you understand him better than we do, because I don't. Their keeper made some good saves, for example. No, he didn't really. He had a comfortable save from a header that was straight at him, you know. And he had another one, a shot which took a deflection and was slow and looping that the keeper just had to kind of put over. But that was about it in terms of saves, really, and a straightforward catch from McCormick. And that was really about it, you know. So, again, I don't really know where all this positivity is coming from. We certainly didn't dominate the game in midfield, as it was suggested. Yes, for the first 30 minutes, 35 minutes or so, I would agree, but after that, certainly not. We were anonymous. And, you know, we defended well, apart from letting in three soft goals or whatever he said. Complete rubbish. You know, it's just, how can you say that? It's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen the goals. And
I have.
It's just, I mean, as you said yesterday, I think, something about we've seen this movie before.
We have.
That is it. You know, we have seen this movie before, and it's probably wearing out, this movie, because it's been replayed so many times.
Over and over and over again. It's annoying. And David, I'm glad that you brought it up, because, yes, I've only seen the highlights. But watching the highlights was so annoying, because, you know, you guys are watching, I'm listening to it, but when you actually see it and you see the highlights and you see these three goals, I personally believe all preventable. And that, to me, is what drives me nuts, is that this situation was preventable. It totally was. Game of two halves, Mike said, but you brought up a good point, David. Second half, for whatever reason, they were not really in the match. It was all about Nottingham Forest. So game of two halves, they take advantage of their opportunities. We don't. We're terrible on set pieces. We're terrible on long shots again. Again, same old movie. And that's what's annoying, David. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Share what else you wanted to on that.
No, that says it all, really. You know, that really does.
Yeah. Okay, very good. All right, guys. Now, before we get into the particulars of the match, I'm only going to share a couple key moments because, again, you know, there are only a few that I really want to highlight. But, Mike, I want to go to you because I want to talk about the starting 11. you and I have talked about this. David has talked about this. One of the frustrating parts about this is that I think we know this. We know what Fulham's best formation is. I know it's not really about the starting 11, but it shows it in the starting 11. Fulham should be focusing and using the 3-5-2 much more than they are. Here's an opportunity to use the 3-5-2. I see the starting 11, and I know it's a 4-4-2. What were your thoughts when you saw the starting 11?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's a majority of us now who agree that to get the best out of certain players, we should be playing with the three at the back and the three in central midfield. You know, you're going to get the best out of Kearney and Fredericks, who probably after McCormick is our, you know, next best threats, really. But Dembele, who was mentioned, he might be injured, and I saw Sarah tweet that he was. It was a precaution that he didn't play. So Smith had to come in, and I think, you know, that's the reason why, because if you play with the two attacking fullbacks and Smith, then the sort of crossfield diagonal ball is not going to come from those players. And we saw when he came on as sub last week and we went to three at the back, that there wasn't a lot of long balls up to Smith. And the fact is, he's a big man. He's going to win headers. And you can argue, you should play with the two wing-backs, get down the wing, cross the ball in. But we're not the greatest crossers either. So I think that was the reason we went with 4-4-2. It's disappointing because we all think that 3-5-2 is better for us. But I can sort of understand why with Smith playing. Now, if Dembele or Woodrow had started, we should have gone with the formation. But otherwise, I think it was as good as it could get, really.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad that you highlighted the difference between having Dembele in there and having Smith in there. But honestly, Mike, if that was the case, then I would still have Matt Smith coming off the bench as your plan B and start calling Woodrow. Why not? Because, again, I think for the majority of that lineup, the 3-5-2 works the best. And I think Colley Woodrow deserves another chance. Nothing against Matt Smith. I think he's best in limited roles, certain games. And honestly, I saw this team struggle. What's frustrating me, Mike, I saw this team struggle against Bristol City. Bristol City play a 3-5-2. Why did we not play that formation? That's where I'm coming from, Mike.
And totally agree, and especially with the way the wind was yesterday, because
exactly,
you know, he didn't win many headers throughout the game, and the ball's not coming at him at pace, and so it's sort of floating, and so for him to header it on to someone, you know, can be difficult at times, but it's a lack of planning again, and it's just picking a best 11 players instead of actually thinking tactically, and. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play Dembele and Woodrow, then you play with the three at the back. But it's clear that, Grant didn't want to do that yesterday. And let's hope that whoever comes in can see that that is our best way of playing.
I hope so, Mike. I hope so. And again, you brought up a great point of why he maybe shouldn't have played Matt Smith. The wind was a major factor in this match. Again, another reason why maybe he should have gone with Colley Woodrow, and then everyone else slots into play in a position that best suits them. Again, you know, I happen to like Colley Woodrow. I think he has something to offer, and if it was me in charge, I would have started him. David, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, I think the 3-5-2, the last thing you need to look at is who's up front. I think that's irrespective. The reason for playing 3-5-2, which we should have done yesterday, is obviously the Tom Kearney situation, but also at
good
the back.
Point.
We're just not good enough in the air at the back. We've seen this again. The two players that have been playing, and I'm getting more and more convinced every time I see it, that they need an extra person to help them out, really. Because Tim Ream, he plays some lovely football on the ground, but every time in the air, he gets beaten. I mean, Richard Stearman wasn't a lot better yesterday. I mean, we talk about winning things in the air. I think we hardly won any headers in the air yesterday throughout the team, and that was even with Matt Smith playing. So I think it's about having the three at the back and the three in central midfield, much more than who it is up front. I understand, Mike, what he's saying, but I I tend to disagree a little bit, and we have to disagree sometimes, Mike, but I think that with Husband and Frederick's push further forward, there is actually going to be good supply. I mean, I just quote you, for example, Husband's cross, you know, early on for Dembele when we beat QPR. You know, he put a great cross in there. I think, you know, Husband's crossing is very good, and Frederick's, I think he's definitely better in a more advanced role when he plays as a conventional right-back like he did yesterday. He's got a lot more ground to make up to get forward. And with Tom Kearney as his right midfielder, he gets no support really there, not in terms of sort of interchangeability, because Kearney's always wandering inside. You know, Kearney was quite often central yesterday anyway, and even, you know, left the central at times. You know, he really wanders inside. So Fredericks is a bit isolated on that side with the 4-4-2, and this is why I said yesterday it was a bit lopsided, as we had really nothing much on the right there, but on the left we had them doubled up. So 3-5-2 would have been better, because it would have given us an extra man to defend at the back, you know, an extra head really is what we really needed, take the pressure off Ream and Stearman a little bit, and saying Kearney could actually stay in the middle where, you know, he can do his damage. And then you push Fredericks and you push Husband on a bit, because they're both comfortable getting forward and providing crosses. So, and then you know, the least of my, they're all meant to be strikers, so they should all cope really, regardless. And if you're getting high balls in, then that's food and drink for Smith, or it should be. But we've seen on the ground he's capable as well. So I wouldn't have worried so much about, you know, the fact that Musa wasn't available. I'd be looking at the shape of the team and the shape of the lineup, because it's the midfield and central midfield and central defence. I believe there are real key areas where we really need to work on, and that's why I'd have gone for 3-5-2.
Okay, very good, David. And Mike, you wanted me to come back to you on this?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's not that I think that we should have played 4-4-2. I was given a reason possibly why, and it's the diagonal ball from the fullbacks. That's the reason why I think he's done it. You know my views on Smith. He shouldn't be starting, and 3-5-2 is the way we should. He is a plan B as far as I'm. I don't think he's fit enough, and you know, he can do a job. He didn't do it yesterday, so all the people who have been calling for him to play, he played, and he had one header on goal, and maybe won a couple of other headers, but that was about it. So it was just to come back and say I agree with what Dave's saying. But I was just given possibly the reason why he went with the 4-4-2.
Right, right. David, he was just given the reasoning behind it, that's all.
Yeah, no, well, the thing is, remember, we saw last week at home to Preston, he went 4-4-2 first half, and it wasn't working, and he switched to 3-5-2, and it suddenly worked. We were so much better. So what made him change back again? You know, I don't take it that because Matt Smith was playing, you know, that was a valid reason for doing it. And I'm not saying that Mike, you know, what Mike said is rubbish, but it just, to me, it worked last week, and that was with Smith also on the pitch as well at some stage. So why change it? The only thing that he did change that he got right was Kavanagh was nowhere to be seen. He's realised that he was out of his depth, you know. So he did something right. But we saw, I was really impressed, actually, because it was the first time we'd seen it last week, with Hutchinson as one of the three central defenders when he came on.
He did a nice job.
I thought
job.
He did a really good job. I thought he did a really good job, Hutchinson, there. And I think that would have been a better move, especially when the ball's in the air swirling around in difficult conditions. You want an extra person who can head the ball. And that was, for me, that was the mistake yesterday.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, guys. Now I'm going to give you guys just a few key moments. Let's talk about the first half again. Full Fulham actually had a few chances to score in the 5th minute very early on. Ross McCormick had a header on in the 22nd minute. Matt Smith had a header. The best opportunity for Fulham came in the 42nd minute, and that was Ross McCormick's shot that was palmed away by De Vries, the goalkeeper, set up by Tom Kearney. That was actually a very good opportunity that, unfortunately, goalkeeper made a save on. But Mike, I'm going to go to you because again, we really have to highlight these goals, and I really want you to explain what you saw on this. And unfortunately, in the 45th minute, they score again off a play from a corner kick. This is a header again, went up and around a few times. Talk about this goal, and for me, this was totally preventable. How about you?
Yeah, well, it's a corner from our sort of left side, and it's a long corner, goes over to the back. Their bloke overhead kicks it back into the 6-yard boxes, and I've frozen the replay a couple of times. And these two guys
Cavoulis have done better
own.
Here, Mike.
Sorry, could who?
Cavoulis have come out for that?
Not for the initial ball, no, but for the one that's hooked back
the
in,
overhead
he probably
one.
Should have done. Yeah, he probably should have come for that. But these two guys are on their own, and Ream, I think, should have been marking one of them, and he ends up in no man's land. And Husband, I think, is the bloke, again on the wrong side. He's always on the wrong side in a corner situation, continually. And, you have it. No, I'll have it. I'll knock it in. No, you, I'll knock it in. And that's why it was, and then suddenly we're one down. You know, and I think we had three or four blokes inside the goal, for Christ's sake. You know, I mean, it's, dreadful, and the worst time, you know, it's a cliche, but it is the worst time to let a goal in. And
sure. Morale and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And they on the highlights, they show the halftime whistle go, and you can see McCormick, his shoulders just sort of, you know, they hit the ground, you know, just so depressed about what's going on. But, we should have been able to deal with it. And, it was a bad, bad goal. But how these two guys are on their own and we're the wrong goal side again, I just do not know.
Right, right. And I'm glad that you highlighted that. I just wanted to mention again on the on the second kick when it went up in the air, I just thought, Mike, that maybe Lewis could have come out for that. He froze. That was my only question to you.
Yeah, he definitely should have got it. When it's a high looping one like that, that should be a goalkeeper's either come and catch it or punch it, and it's within the 6-yard box. It was crowded, maybe that's why he didn't want to do it, but he should have gone for it.
Okay, and that's why I wanted to ask you. All right, guys, before we go over the second half, I want to go to you about the first half stats and ask you if, again, this is a fair reflection of what you guys both watched. Again, David, you've already highlighted this because you saw the halftime stats, so I'm just going to read them. Again, let's start with possession. Fulham had 57% to 43% for Forest. Total shots, Fulham had 6 to 4 for Forest. On target, Fulham had 3. Forest had 2. Corners, Fulham had 4. Nottingham Forest had 1. Crosses, Fulham had 18 to 6 for Nottingham Forest. Overall passes, 273 to 206 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 130 to 72, again in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels, Nottingham Forest actually had 11 to only 10 for Fulham, and fouls were even at 5. All right, David, to you first. What are your thoughts about the halftime stats? Does that basically say it to you? Again, they get the late goal, but do the stats back up what you watched?
Yeah, they do. I mean, we certainly had the possessional advantage. It's funny that you see that, as I said, we hardly won anything in the air, and you can see that was one of the only stats we lost in the first half, that Nottingham Forest beat us in the air at 11-10, but you can see we put a lot of crosses in. The other thing we didn't mention yet, we had the corners, but the delivery was poor from Pringle. We wasted the corners from his side. I think it was about 2 or 3 we just hit, you know, very poorly, either easy for the goalkeeper or too long. Otherwise, I think if we'd have gone in equal at halftime, we'd have felt a little bit aggrieved, really, in a way, because we had dominated, you know, the most of the period. But to go in, you know, behind was a real sucker punch, most certainly, as you can see the stats. And, you know, possession, you can like disregard possession because it can be misleading. But
sure,
the things you look at, the crosses and the shots and everything else, you know, the passes, the four passes. Yeah, we were definitely in the ascendancy, and we should have made it count, and we didn't.
Okay, very good. And, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on that. And also something that David mentioned that I was listening to. Again, I have not watched it, so I have not had a chance to see the crosses. But based on the way that gentleman Jim was describing, they were poor. Do you agree with David on that? And also, what are your thoughts about the halftime stats?
Well, our corners were definitely poor. And as Dave says, really, whoever was, you know, it was Pringle or whoever was taking them, they were going far too long. I mean, in the first half, you watch the highlights, we had 5 good chances. You had Smith's header down to the keeper. Maybe he could have gone better, but you're always told to head it down. McCormick's header within this, I mean, it was almost like a pass back, really. McCormick's shot, which was a deflection, which were the one-handed save from the keeper, they were our best chances. And then we had two others, which were off the head of one of their defenders from a McCormick free kick, which I think it may have hit the top of the bar or at least gone for a corner. And then another one which deflected off a player and went just past the post. And that, they were our best chances. But, you know, I talk about creating chances and clear-cut chances. None of them there is a ball through to someone to run on one-on-one with a keeper. We just don't create those kind of goal-scoring chances. You can look back and say, Kearney's hit some great goals and so's McCormick, but we're not giving any of our players and our strikers those real clear-cut, it's you and the keeper, and that's it. And that we're failing in that kind of area.
Okay, very good, Mike. And it really is it really, you know, again, I haven't watched it. I'm just asking you, is it really about it? They're trying to basically walk it in that they're not taking more shots. You know, again, the shots actually are pretty even, but when I look at the shots, again, these are just the highlights that I saw. It just seems like Forrest were taking more long-distance shots. Is it that they're just trying to make that perfect pass?
No, I don't think – I'm not sure it's even the perfect pass. I think David touched on it last week or the week before, well, every week really. We're just so slow. We're slow at everything. We're slow at attacking. We're slow at taking a shot. We're slow at the passing sometimes. We're slow getting back. Everything is in slow motion and hesitant and not positive enough. And and that's where I think the problem is. It just throughout the whole team, we're just not quick enough at anything.
Well, Mike, that goes back to you talking about lack of purpose. You know, again, intent, being confident, lack of confidence, Mike. Would you agree with that? Did I lose you, Mike?
Well, no, like, no. I mean, okay. I don't know if it's lack of confidence. It's, I mean, that's going to play a part, but it's been going on for a long time. How slow we are breaking and taking that shot. Even when we're playing well, we're still doing that. So, whoever comes in, that's another thing they've got to work on.
Faster. Everything has to be faster, basically.
He's got a lot of work, this new man, whoever it is.
All right, guys, let's move to the second half. And, David, I'm going to go to you, and you've already pointed this out. Second half, all about Nottingham Forest from the get-go. They were on top of us. But let's go to the goal in the 52nd minute. And I want to ask you again, because I've watched the highlights of this several times. Talk about the goal, and was this preventable, or was it something that wasn't preventable? Was this just a good goal, or was it preventable?
It was preventable in three ways, I guess. For a start, it opened up in front of the Forest player. No one closed him down. So, why not? I'll take a shot. He hit it pretty well, and it did swerve a little bit, but, you know, being critical like I am on goalkeepers, perhaps Lewis could have done better. In the end, he had to just sort of try and get something behind it to stop it. But he's only ended up putting it straight back to where they are. But Riemann and Stearman second to it again. You know, no one was fast enough to close down the guy for the rebound. So, you know, first they opened up and let him take a shot. Secondly, the keeper could have done better, perhaps. And thirdly, you know, the central defender should have been quicker to close down the guy for the rebounds. And, you know, they just basically were watching. And when it was too late, they started to make an effort. And just a very soft goal to give away and very, very infuriating.
Yeah, you know, and again, I totally, David, thought this was preventable. And I'm glad that you really analyzed three different ways where it was preventable. Very good by you. All right, Mike, I got to be honest with you. When the third goal went in, I went on Twitter, and your reaction on Twitter was priceless. Talk about the third goal. You were very, very angry about this goal by Matt Mills. Again, play off of a corner, and Matt Mills scores on a header.
Well, I've sort of said, I think it is because of the angle we were sitting at. Me and Dave were on the end of the row with no one to our left. It's, you know, to the, if you're looking at the TV, we're to the left of the goal, and the angle of the header is almost straight at us. But you see this red shirt just appear at the back with no white shirt anywhere near him. He heads it straight into the goal, almost directly at us. And yes, I did go a bit mental, jumping out of my seat, effing and blinding. And because given what we'd seen defensively in the first half of the corner, the second goal, and it was just, I suppose it just reached a point with that goal that just summed up everything that's gone wrong probably in the last 2.5 seasons. You know, defensively, you have a header and score, mate, because we're crap at corners, defending corners. And no one on the posts. Again, you know, I wasn't sure initially who it was had lost him. Dave called it straight away, said it was Stearman, it was. And from somebody who's so experienced, came here as a fan's favourite, it was appalling defending. And yes, I did tweet some abuse and everything. And I think it's thoroughly deserved because it was schoolboy defending. And I don't think the keeper, you know, some people have said Lewis should have come for the ball. It was too high for him to come for it. I think there's lots of people in front of him. But next time I get a chance to speak to anyone at the club who's on the playing side, I'm going to ask about defending corners and men on the post and ask for a reason why they don't do it. Because, I think the majority of fans in football, the whole of football, can't understand why clubs don't put people on posts. Which, you know, stats might say they're useless there, but I think it stops goals. Whether it would have stopped this one, I don't know, because it was a different kind of thing. But yeah, it was just the end for me with regards letting goals in at corners. It just summed everything up. And it was terrible, and that was it. You know, the game was over anyway, really. But that was the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and listen, I want to go back to the second goal because David did a very good job of describing it. And were you as upset about that one as the third one, or more?
No, the third one was the worst one. I mean, that was the bloke ran through the midfield or about 20 yards out. Someone should have got a tackle in. The shot swerved, and he hit it well. He hit it hard. I thought Lewis did well to save it. But we're not on our toes. I'm not sure if it's Fredericks who should have been, you know, coming in. But the bloke, you know, easy goal for him in the end, really. And I'm not going to blame Lewis on that one. There were players in front of him who should have closed that bloke down and stopped that shot. And no, the third goal, it was, that was it for me.
Third goal is the one that put you over the edge, Mike.
Yeah, I'm on the tablet right now.
Yeah, I can vouch for that, Russ.
Okay. All right, guys, let's go to full-time stats. Again, Fulham end up losing 3-0, and let's see what that tells us. And I'll just run through it with you guys. Let's start with possession. Fulham ended with 57% to 43% for Nottingham Forest. Shots were even, 11 apiece. Each team had 11. They had one more on target, Nottingham Forest, 5-4. Passing accuracy, Fulham were a little bit higher at 79% to 72%. For Nottingham Forest, total passes, Fulham had more, 467 to 353. Attacking passes, almost 100 more for Fulham, 318 to 221. Key passes, Nottingham Forest had one more at 9-8. Crosses, Fulham had the advantage here, 30-18. Crossing accuracy, Fulham edged it at 23% to 22%, Aerial duels, Fulham had 23 and 16 for Nottingham Forest. Duels won, 56 to 47 in favor of Fulham. Interceptions, 17 for Fulham, 5 for Nottingham Forest. Interceptions inside the box, Fulham had 3, Nottingham Forest had none. And tackles were even at 18 apiece. All right, David, what stands out to you from the stats?
Well, I can't believe we won the aerial duels. We weren't winning anything in the air the whole game, hardly. Certainly not where it counted. I think from the stats, probably our good first half stats carried over a little bit and maybe distorted it. If you took the first half stats out of those, you'd probably find that second half it was a lot closer, or maybe in Forest's favour. But still, you know, if you're looking at it as a layperson, you know, in a million years' time, someone looks back and looks at these stats, they're going to say, looking at it, well, how was it 3-0 to Forest? Because from those stats, you'd say that it was pretty even, really.
Right.
But that's just where stats can be misleading for you, really. You know, and I think the one actually that probably out of those that actually tells you more of the clear picture is the one with the interceptions in the box or whatever. There was three by Fulham and nil by Forest. And that's because, you know, three times we had to, you know, get the ball out to save a goal probably, whereas we never put them under that pressure the other way around.
Okay, very good there, David. All right. Mike, over to you.
Well, Dave stole it from me here because I was going to mention the interceptions, and that's exactly right. That's showing, you know, I mean, Fredericks did a great one in the first half. I think Ream did the other one as well. And, yeah, that just shows that, you know, they're getting in the box or the ball's going on the in the box on the floor, and, you know, we're not doing that enough. But, so yeah, the stats are very weird reading, especially the defensive ones, you know, tackle
right.
success, 94%, and duels one, those kind of things. I'd like to understand how they sort of break that down as headers one. But, you know, again, passing-wise, you know, we're doing nearly 500 passes a game again. And, you know, so O'Hara, he's getting the ball and putting it around and attacking passes we had the most. But we're just not doing anything with it when you're not clinical enough. And, the stats for this game are just really make no sense at all. And they really don't. But goal, you know, you look at the goalkeeping one. You know, I've seen lots of comments about goalkeepers should come and catch things, and Dave would certainly say that. But you look
right.
at it, and their keeper came out and caught four, and Lewis caught two. So you know, that's not a huge amount of catches throughout the whole game. So and you know, again, they made, you know, their keeper made most saves. I'm just, you know, baffled by it. But in the end, the important stats are it was 3-0, and it's two.
That's right.
And it's the two goals from corners again.
Oh, it's disgusting. It really is, guys. It's disgusting. All right. Okay, let's go to rating the players. David, I'll go to you. Mike, don't worry about that because you came in so late. I haven't given you enough time to prepare for that. David, are you ready to rate the players? And let's do it within a couple minutes.
Yeah, no, Mike's got to do it as well. He's got his whole survey he can fall back on if he.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
himself,
about that. Mike, is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'll do it. It's no problem. But let Dave go first, though.
Okay.
Okay, I'm in the firing line, Russ. Off I go then, yeah? So I'm going to go. I'm going to start. Lewis, I'm going to give him a 5. And it's more about what we've talked about with catching and claiming. He is very stuck on his line. And you know, when you've got a crap central defence, what you need is a goalkeeper who can come and claim the ball. And what a difference it makes if you can get that. And, you know, just look at what we had under people like Mark Schwarzer, who would come and claim the ball. Takes a lot of pressure
yeah.
off the defence, but he just doesn't come out and claim the ball, really. And certainly on that first goal, I think he should have come and claimed that one or punched it. I might be being slightly critical on the second one, but I don't know. To me, I'm starting to see why he's our third choice keeper now. You know, he's okay, but maybe nothing more. He does a few good saves, but there's not enough in it for me. So 5 for me on that one. Fredericks, I thought, you know, considering that maybe he's more of an attacking player than a right back himself, I thought he did okay. I don't think he made any particularly glaring errors. It was one, perhaps a misjudgment, as you saw on the highlights, where the wind took the ball around. But he's made a few good sort of, you know, that interception he made. And a couple of times he got down the line, he beat his man and got to the byline and got crosses in. So I'm going to give him a 6. This is where it gets interesting now. Stearman, I'm going to give him 4. Because I wasn't happy with his contribution. He didn't win enough in the air. And I was starting to think, you know, when we do get a corner, is there any point sort of taking it because our delivery's crap and we haven't got anyone who can win the ball anyway to head it? And Stearman didn't win enough yesterday. Absolutely culpable on the third goal. Let his man go. On the second goal, perhaps if he'd been awake, he might have intercepted that one. On the first goal, he was nowhere to be seen. He was chasing the man who was doing the overhead kicks. Just not good enough. A few kind of wild clearances out of defence as well. You know, not didn't use the ball at all well. So I'm going to give him 4. Ream, I was going to give him 4 as well, but I've decided we know he can't head the ball, so to penalise him for not winning headers is maybe unfair. So I'm going to give him 5 because he
okay.
did play the ball on the ground quite nicely, But still, he was culpable on their first goal, I think, maybe also on their second. And leading up to their first goal, it was pointed out my son that he goes to attack the ball on these long balls, Reem. He doesn't get there. The attacker wins it and flicks it over him, and it leaves a hole behind him. What's the point of going to try and win these headers if you're not going to win them, because you just leave a gap there? And this is something that, as I say, giving him five, I think I'm being maybe a bit generous, but it's something we need to address, that we've got one central defender who can't win the ball in the air, and this is a real pressure thing. Husband had a great first half, I thought, with, you know, apart from, again, what Mike said again on the goal, apart from that, when, you know, we were doing well, he got forward really well, him and Pringle attacked quite well. Second half, didn't really see him at all. I'm going to give him 6 out of 10. As for the midfield, Kearney, he was just, and this is hard, it's hard to quantify really in a game like that, but he was just my man of the match, because I thought we saw from him quite a few good bits of control and touch. He just sometimes he's running into blind alleys, but he has got a lovely touch on him. But wasted on the right, you know, when he's on the right, it's too predictable to mark him, because he's always going to want to come inside, and they work that out. But when he was inside at times, there were some great little balls and layoffs. So I gave him 7. Parker, I thought he did okay, but really, you know, our midfield wasn't the powerhouse that Peter Grant suggested it was. And for Parker, it was probably a bit disappointing. I'm only going to give him 6. Likewise, O'Hara saw an awful lot of the ball, but there wasn't really the cutting edge that we've seen sometimes from his passing. He was involved a lot, but second half, really, although he tried and he was still running around like mad at the end, there wasn't really anything from him second half at all, so I also gave him 6. Likewise, Pringle, a good first half, but faded second half, was withdrawn. I'm not sure if that was a tactical thing or the fact that his fitness doesn't seem to be that good after about 60 minutes. He did put some good crosses in, but tempered by the fact that his corner delivery was rubbish. McCormack, pretty anonymous really for me, didn't really get involved that much. Had a header he put straight at the goalkeeper, perhaps a little bit difficult to get power on it from there, but frustrating at times as well. So for me, I'm only going to give him 5. Need to see a lot more from him. Matt Smith as well, likewise, I'm going to give him 5. Thought it might be a good game for him, but in the air he didn't win enough balls. He had that one chance, which I think he headed it fairly well, couldn't have done a lot better with it, but it was straight at the keeper. But not involved enough, not dangerous enough, and, you know, the wind was the same for both teams. I think he should have been more dominant in the air, really, made more use of the conditions. So, say, 5 for him as well.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, Mike, over to you.
Well, I pretty much agree with almost everything Dave said there, in sort of the order of how he's voted. I definitely go. I won't go for everyone, Russ. I made Kearney just the man of the match. For me, O'Hara did a little bit better than what Dave said, so I may give him a 6.5. I thought he was trying his best. He was battling, but he was almost like looking around and people were hiding. That's one thing you can't say about O'Hara. You know, he's there looking for the ball and he's trying his best, and it doesn't always come off. But so I think he's given 100%. The fullbacks did okay. I'm going to concentrate on the two centre backs. Stearman,
okay.
I can't forgive him that third goal, and so he gets a 3 from me. Absolutely horrendous. And Dave didn't mention it, but his passing yesterday, his long balls, I mean, talk about putting a ball into a space, put the ball into an area where there's no one. And, his long passing was dreadful. Did you? I didn't hear you then, Dave, sorry. he was appalling. And Reem, yeah, he can't win a header. It's he does the old, you know, think of Hangland and Hughes. Hangland would go for the header and Hughes would look to sweep up behind if he missed it.
Right.
Unfortunately, Stearman is not Hughes and Reem is definitely not Hangland. So the balance is wrong there. And again, it goes back, you know, be it Hutchinson, be it Byrne, be it whoever, we need three centre-backs if those two are going to play, because as a partnership, they're not strong enough for us. So, a lot of lessons or things that were probably already there that we saw, but it all came out yesterday, their weaknesses. And McCormick, he didn't do enough again. Captaincy was taken away. He didn't have that responsibility. But for me, yes, he gets lots of goals. And I think he's something like the third highest goal scorer in the calendar year. But he still doesn't do enough for me. And I just mentioned Parker.
Okay.
I thought Parker for me was just a waste of space. Absolutely.
Okay.
Didn't do anything for me. Him and O'Hara, that's not a partnership I want to see.
Very good, Mike. And honestly, I always enjoy your analysis of Russ McCormack. It always, for whatever reason, always makes me laugh, Mike.
Well, I mean, he's the 11, 7, 6, 11, whatever you want to call it. He gets the goals from the free kicks and that, but, I think that exaggerates what he actually does off the ball.
He slows
the game down rotten.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, we only have about a little over 3 minutes. Real quick, because I definitely want your thoughts on Peter Grant's job in this match. Real quick, Mike, give him a rating.
Well, I'll give him a 5. He should have played the formation from last week, and I wouldn't have started Smith. So.
Okay, very good. David? Oh, David must have dropped off, so he'll be back with us shortly. All right, Mike, any final thoughts before we wrap up the show?
About the game, disappointing. It's 3 wasted games for me now. Well, not just for me, everyone, but now we need to get a manager. It's clear, and whoever that person is, we have to back them and give them time. Because it's not their fault that it's taken 4 weeks to get someone. And so whoever comes in, we have to back him 100%. And the fans, if they're going to vent any anger, that needs to be towards someone else.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, guys, I'm actually having some computer problems, and that's probably why David dropped off. We had that issue with David. I'm just trying to get connected for the very end of the show, so I do apologize because I'm actually, believe it or not, having computer issues. Mike, while we're still on, are you still up to doing that Structure of Fulham Football Club show again?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to do it, and when there's any news this week, I'm sure we'll do some kind of show. But I'm looking forward to discussing those kind of roles with Yanis, because I think we would have quite an interesting show, because I think we come from 2 completely opposite points of view on that one.
Well, I'll be in touch with you, and looks like David's back on the line because I actually was able to get back in the studio on the iPad. David, any final thoughts?
Don't use an iPad.
Don't use an iPad. David, the iPad saved us for the end of the show.
Okay, Peter Grant, 5 as well. Should have played the 3-5-2 like Mike said.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, great show. You guys are both excellent today. All right, for Mike Gregg and David Holly, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, Mike.
See you, Russ. See you, Mike.